Alrighty then. Hello, everyone. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell will be reporting later on, and probably be checking in with Tim Kearns and a host of others as well, as try to continue our mission here on Monday nights of bringing you North Shore sports fairly consistently, fairly exclusively. Not all the time in each case, but we do our best. Holding down the fort here in my studio by myself. My engineer is operating remotely, as are all people, I guess, at this point in time. You want to be careful with your online stuff. I guess there are some major league hackers out there. I know of some businesses that have fallen victim to ransomware on a very serious note, and pretty serious stuff shutting down businesses, so be careful. I don't know enough about it. My IT guy takes care of that stuff for us, and we ain't got no money anyway, so you ain't going to ransom us. If you do, TBTB FYNM, too bad to be for you, not me. Okay, tonight, sports-wise, we're going to do a little reflection on hockey with Winthrop High School hockey coach Dale Dunbar, who's also a National Hockey League agent, so he doubles up for us when he comes on our program. He'll talk about high school sports. He'll talk about high school hockey. Look back on his tremendous game, his team's tremendous game against Triton. Triton went on, of course, to go to the Division II North Championship game. Excuse me. Versus Lincoln Sudbury, but Triton and Winthrop in a quarterfinal match, just an incredible game, where Triton winning that one by a score of 1-0. We'll talk with Coach Dunbar also about the shutdown in the NHL and get his opinion on it. And I'm going to ask everybody about how this shutdown in the United States is affecting them, you know, and in what ways, and maybe how we are all responding to things. Everybody, this is a situation, so everybody is brand new to this. There's no book written for this one. So we'll check in with Coach Dunbar about that. Bill Newell will be talking to Derek January of the Swampscott. January is a very familiar name on the North Shore. He is now the president and general manager of the North Shore Navigators, and so we'll see what his take is on things. And I would guess at this point nobody knows when spring sports and summer sports might begin, and we're all anticipating that, of course. So Bill will be talking with Derek January. He'll also be chatting with Michael Lungi, who is the new sports editor at the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. So Mike will be talking with Bill. Let's see here. What else do we have going for us? Oh, yeah. I forgot about the big boys. We're going to be talking with Gary Larrabee and Mike Grenier in sort of a new format for us, a novel format. I guess you can call it a conference call. We'll be talking with both Mike and Gary, and they've got some stories they want to tell about North Shore sports. These two guys combined have many, many years of writing experience in sports here on the North Shore, and I'm not going to speak as to how many they have, but I've had about never mind, but together it's a lot of stuff. Maybe they'll want to mention how long they've been doing this, but they've got a unique eye and they have a lot of stories to tell. And I think we're going to be focusing on basketball stars of the North Shore have gone on to do bigger and better things, but they could surprise me and will at this point in that. And then hopefully I'll be checking with Tim Kearns later on toward the end of the hour, and I didn't give Tim a heads up, so that remains to be seen whether or not I'll make contact. Let me see. So I think that most people I know who have that I've run into, and I don't mean that literally, of course. I do a daily 3 or 4 mile walk, not running right now, but I do the walk, and I do see people from time to time. I've been to the bank. I've been to the grocery store, and most people are adjusting, taking it slow and easy, and everybody's in the same boat. It's like you sort of just shrug your shoulders and say, okay, we got to do what we got to do. And a lot of people are glued to the TV. They're glued to their screens about news. And, you know, the governor has been particularly good about getting out information on a daily basis, as have local mayors and local town leaders. And so that's all pretty much up on people's websites. But in general, it's just it's a slowdown. It's a worry. It's a concern. And people are adapting as best they can. And for those who don't have incomes right now, it's very, very scary and freaky. And I think everybody that I know of is trying to help anybody in any way that they can. And I think, you know, that's the way it's going to be for the foreseeable future. The fact that we don't have sports, live sports, is it takes away one of the outlets when we go through things like this. I know that when back in 9/11, those of you who are old enough to remember, sports were shut down for a week or two, but then they got back online, and while people were healing, while people were trying to figure out what was going on, there was that outlet. Now we have videos, you have highlights. I think the Major League Sports channels are showing highlights consistently of games past, of athletes past, and so on. And of course, you know what? There are always books. You can always take a look at a book, whether that's an e-book or a hardcover book. So there is that. And it might be a good chance, maybe I can ask whoever I talk with tonight if they can recommend a good sports book or other book for that matter. See who's reading. And I think I will do that. I think I'll check that out. Needless to say, The Art of Hitting, Ted Williams, would be at the top of the list if you're talking sports. Most definitely. But let's see what's out there. We'll find out if anybody can recommend a favorite book. So anyway, there's all that. I know that here at the Moore household, my studio is offset from the main part of the building, and during Sunday nights, we've been watching Harry Potter movies. We're going back and going through them in order. So we've seen two movies, three? Yeah, I think we've seen three movies so far. We started early. So we've seen the first three and watched the kids grow, and that's been kind of fun. And you might have a favorite movie you want to mention as well, and we can pass that on. I know that there are all kinds of lists online about videos that you can watch and old TV shows and things like that. So we'll get all of that. We'll get the sports in for sure, and all that's coming up here in just a little while. So stay with us, please. First guest coming up will be Winthrop High School hockey coach Dale Dunbar. I'm Rick Moore. This is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night. We've been doing this since 05. Can you believe that? Yep. We'll be right back.
You'll love the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, as they feature a menu to please everyone. Start your meal with your choice from a dozen delicious appetizers. There are also soups and fresh salads. Dinner selections include burgers, sirloin tips, chicken parmesan, chicken piccata, and then there's seafood, clams, haddocks, salmon, lobsters, and fish tacos. Plus a wide selection of sandwiches and wraps. Let the Bradford Tavern host your events or functions set in unique spaces. Open 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. The Bradford Tavern, Route 133 Rowley, and Bradford Tavern.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Check out live sporting events on MSO News Sports and exclusive interviews with coaches and players. When it comes to local news and sports, MSO News Sports keeps you connected to the big stories.
All righty then. We're back with Dale Dunbar. He's the high school hockey coach at Winthrop High School, also an NHL agent, and a guy who let me ask you, Coach. First of all, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, just trying to stem the tide here. Hopefully, get this behind us. I don't know the time frame. There's so many different reports out there, but just praying that everybody's, going to stay healthy and, get through this.
What's changed at work for you, Coach? Because I'm gathering you're one of the guys who has to go in. You can't do it remotely.
Yeah, no. It looks like a ghost town. It's actually pretty scary, but as long as we're open, we have to provide a service. So hopefully, hopefully this can get back to people going back to work and being able to interact and get hopefully the world back to the way we knew it sooner than later.
Yeah, we've had a small version of this, of course, from time to time with 9/11. We had it with blizzards, and we've had it with, when Boston shut down after the marathon. But this is new territory, so I think everybody is, like you're saying, just kind of looking over your shoulder and saying, okay, am I doing the right thing, and how long is this going to last? But, Coach, I want to go back I saw you at what the hell was it, at the rink in the semifinal game. You guys were getting ready to play Triton. You were very excited about your team. You knew Triton was a formidable opponent. But you gave Triton everything they could handle. And you know something, for a bounce of the puck here and there, it could have been a Winthrop Gloucester final.
I know, yeah. It's funny. I was a little disappointed in the way our year went. I thought we could have had a better year. But when you get to the dance, it doesn't matter what your record was, what your year, how your year was. It all starts as a clean slate, and that's the message we really were trying to instill. And we had two great practices, probably our two best practices of the whole year, leading into that. So we were pretty optimistic because we know we have the goaltending. We knew we had the pieces. It was just getting it together. And unfortunately, they score on the first shift of the game on a tip in, and then there's not another goal.
Man.
And we that's a dangerous when you're the underdog, and you're hanging around. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Triton was, we're one bounce away from tying this thing, and then who knows? So, yeah, I mean, it was tough. I was proud of the way the kids played, and Triton obviously had a nice run. So I thought we played very well against them, and after that first shift, I really thought we were able to keep pucks to the outside, not give them too much. They dumped the puck in a lot. We just couldn't sustain much offense.
Dale, what do you do with there's two ways to look at it now. You got your seniors who, this is it. This is the end of the line for them. And then you got the underclassmen who have seen what it's like to practice what you preach. And so what are the messages you give to each group as you break up or as you see these kids from time to time or, after that final game? Because it's sort of like this, it's almost like you have to give them two different messages, sort of, I guess.
Yeah, we're pretty optimistic for the future. Again, we have goaltending, defense coming back. We're pretty young. So I'm pretty optimistic with the outlook moving forward. And yeah, it's tough, seniors, it's always tough to see it end for them. But I think the message was, we gave it our best, and that's all you can ever do. And, again, I think that, our future is promising with our young kids. And as long as we're molding them and teaching them the right thing, especially when they're younger, I think giving them important ice time when they're young can only lead to good things as they get older. So throwing them in different situations this year that they probably wouldn't have been in if mm-hmm. we had an older team
right.
is really going to pay dividends as we move forward.
You encourage your kids to play other sports, don't you?
Totally. Absolutely. I believe in this pollination. I believe in different coaches' methods and messages and playing with different players and not being stale. I think all your different skill sets come out in different ways, whether it's mental, physical. I played three sports, and if there was a fourth, I would have played a fourth. but I love different teams, different atmospheres, different mindsets. I think it all leads to athletes moving forward, and whatever they do specialize when they do have to specialize, I think they're a better athlete and a better a better person for it.
Well, I sure would have loved to see Winthrop and Gloucester in the semis there, and I know that Gloucester gave Lincoln Sudbury into overtime or double overtime, whatever it was, and then Lincoln Sudbury went on to win the North, and of course we didn't have the final state championship, but nobody can do anything at the moment. Coach, what's your take now on the shutdown of the NHL and how that's going to affect players? Because I don't know about you, but I don't think they're coming back this year.
Well, now I think there's been a couple of players that have tested positive. The NBA, I think, really had a choice. They had to do it right away because there were so many teams affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
And, the longer this goes, I think, and the more area it's covering throughout the United States and moving it to Canada possibly, I think that, you're going to see the numbers and the percentage is going to increase, so no one's immune from it. So I think, the NHL did the smart thing first just to suspend because, the timing sort of played on their side because I don't think anybody really knew moving forward, what measures were going to be put in place to fight this. But now, as it's moving forward, the season's going to go longer. I don't think they're going to have a choice to suspend. And it's the right thing to do. I mean, you can't bring people together. You can't put people in harm's way just for an athletic event. I mean, it's more than that. So I think, I think it's a tough decision. It's tough for everyone involved, especially the workers. And there's so many underlying things here than just the hockey or the baseball, the games being played. There's other livelihoods and people that are affected by it. So it's a big issue, and it's a big problem. But I think as long as everybody makes the responsible decisions for, not thinking about just the money, but more people's, health and livelihood, as far as that goes, I think that's the right decision.
It's weird. The easiest interviews for us over the years have been hockey players at every single level. And the thing is, I mean, they were the first out of the gate to be concerned about the Boston Garden workers, for example. And I know Barry Hanrahan, who's a former student of mine, he's the assistant general manager and vice president of the Philadelphia Flyers. I took a tour of the Wells Fargo Center with him November a year ago. And from top to bottom, from the ninth floor down, he knew every person by their first name. And it's amazing how the reality sets in. You know, you go to a game, I go to a game as a spectator. I don't even think about who's pouring the beer or giving me the hot dog. I just pay the money and get back upstairs. But now you realize, wait a minute, these are people, and they're not having an income right now. So, I think there will be some good coming from it, in that is being recognized, and a lot of the athletes, Coach, are stepping up to help those people.
Absolutely. I know Brad Marchand, and I know, there's athletes are, and there's other livelihoods, and I'm only speaking of something that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when there's a crisis, it's the athletes that come together and they do things. And I know, I just read something online, why all these actors and actresses, that are, coming out and saying things, what are they doing to help people? Well, we don't know what they're doing.
Right.
There's a lot of people that are doing things behind the scenes because they don't want to make it look like, they're heroes. They're just doing it. And they don't want the fanfare. And then others that will do it because, they're helping causes. So I think everybody's doing a lot of things and at every level. And but you're right. You never think about those things. Who's parking cars? Who's serving my food? Who's doing this? Those are secondary jobs to supplement their incomes. So when you take away their number one income, which mostly everybody is now, especially with the closures of all these businesses, and now take away the secondary jobs, it's going to hit people very, very hard, whether it's rents, mortgages, car payments, whatever it is. And hopefully they do what they're saying, and they're going to delay things and allow people to be able to make late payments without any penalties.
I'm going to throw you a curveball here, Coach, before we wrap this up. At the end of this, I'm going to ask you for a recommendation of either a sports movie or some movie or book in general that you can recommend that either I read or the kids read during this time, because I'm going through books like crazy and videos like crazy. But Coach, I want to ask you about Bobby Orr. Bobby Orr, from what I've read in the Boston Globe, from what I've read online, and from people I know who have met him, has done over the years exactly what you just said, only he's done it quietly. But he has been a leader in so many different ways in his community, I'm guessing, and I think you might know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, Bobby is very private, as you know. I mean, he does an awful lot of things for people that, again, he is the person that doesn't want the fanfare. He'll find out about something, and the next thing you know, he's doing something about it. I mean, having worked for him for 10 years, I was beside him for a lot of things, and I saw when a request came in or some story came in, and, he'd ask me what I think, and, next thing you know, that person's being helped. And
wow.
There's just so many different things that he's done over the years you know, he's not just a Hall of Famer on the ice. He's even a better person when it comes to that stuff. So he's done an awful lot for people. And again, he epitomizes what it's all about as far as athletes and being humble. And, you know, we see people out there that do extraordinary things and are very humble. And then we see people that don't do extraordinary things and they're pretty cocky. But, you know, you're right, though. Boston will always be known for its great athletes, whether it's Ray Bourque or Bobby Orr or, you know, any baseball players or Bird. I mean, we're known because we're a city that comes together, especially in crisis. And not just the championships. And again, I think you're seeing that right now with all of our athletes stepping up and trying to help everybody that helps, you know, support them.
Yeah, and they're people too, and they're following along, and they're putting their money where their mouths are, and it's a great thing. All right, Coach. Now, now you're on the hot seat. I need a book or a movie that you can recommend.
Well, I think Mike Ruzioni would be very upset if I didn't say "Making of a Miracle," the new book that just came out. It is become. I told him I haven't read a book since kindergarten, and that includes, well, not kindergarten, but elementary school. I mean, I wasn't the greatest of readers. But I can tell you, because I know all the characters in it, and, you know, us being in it, and, you know, Winthrop, I couldn't put it down. So it's a really good read. As far as a movie, if it's a sports movie, I mean, I just always like Bull Durham. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
It's one of my favorite movies. It really shows what it's like at the minor league level and the fun that you have. It's more of a team atmosphere. It's more of camaraderie. Because when you're up at the big, sometimes you don't get to enjoy that all as much because of families and spotlight and all that. When you're in the minors, you're usually in a small town and they embrace you. But the fun you have away from the rink or the diamonds or the fields, those are the times you really remember. And some of the moments in there, like when they created that rain cancellation on their own.
And
they got drunk and they turned the sprinkles on. I mean, I guarantee that's happened. That is hilarious.
All right.
It's those light moments that I like. It's a great movie.
Excellent, excellent. I'm going to have to get you off the record here one of these nights. The other thing, Coach, is I finally figured out how to do call conferencing, so we can get you and Coach Jackson in a conference call and maybe do some reminiscing at some point.
That'd be great.
That'd be great. All right, Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Always fun chatting with you, and for God's sake, stay safe.
Always the same to you.
Thanks, Dale. Take care.
All
right, bye-bye. That is Dale Dunbar, who is the Winthrop High School hockey coach and just loves doing what he's doing, supports the kids, tremendous coach and a tremendous man. Appreciate it. 7:20, no, I was going to say the time. You don't care what time it is because this will be online here pretty soon. All right, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Time for a break. We'll come back with an interview as Bill Newell. We'll be talking with North Shore Navigators Derek January here on MSO News Sports. So please to stay with us. Okay, hit this and hit that.
Derek January, the president and general manager of the North Shore Navigators, is joining us on the line. And Derek, welcome. Good to be talking with you again.
Nice to talk to you, Bill. It's at least fun to talk a little bit about baseball with everything that's going on in the world.
It is. Baseball used to be the distraction for working folks and students and whatever, but now it's we don't have baseball right now, as folks know. But Derek, with your league, with the team, the North Shore Navigators, which aren't scheduled to play until the very end of May, but what is the league doing and what are the Navigators doing regarding the coronavirus and the shutdowns?
Well, we're kind of in limbo with regards to everything that's going on in the world. We are handling our business as usual. We're trying to get ready for the season as if it would start on May 27th, which is our home opener. Realistically speaking, I assume that we're going to probably get pushed back a little bit. We're trying to follow the lead of Major League Baseball, I think, with regards to timeline and practices and scheduling. But we're our conference calls have been weekly now with the league and the league owners. So we're trying to formulate a plan and that we can adhere to so that we can continue to make educated decisions on the season. And what we're looking to do is make sure that we're putting our players, our fans, and our employees in a safe environment to watch and play baseball this summer.
The other thing, too, Derek, is I really didn't think about this until just the other day, was that your players, you know, normally would be playing their college seasons now, but they're not doing that, right?
No, they're all home, taking classes online, doing their things that they need to do to stay ready and to, you know, to prepare themselves for the season that they would normally be doing on their college campus with the college team. So, yeah, that's very...
So that's got to be tough. Derek, before the before all of this happened, you guys are ramping up and working crazy to get ready for the 2020 season with the Navigators, you being new owner, new general manager, and so on, president. So I guess take our listeners through some of the updates that you do have planned for this summer, and hopefully the season obviously will get underway as scheduled.
Well, I think that the big thing is that we'll continue to put a good product on the field as the previous group did in the past. We will, if you haven't been to a game in a few years, there's a lot that you can do at the park. With we're putting in a pavilion, a fan pavilion, so that when you come into the field, there'll be some things to do prior to the game. We're going to make our players a little more accessible. And we're going to live and die by the promotional night that we have. And we're looking at a lot of different things that the team has done in the past and that the league has done in the past. So we're really focusing on fan opportunities to enjoy a game, but not just in game, but some of the other things that you could do at a park that you couldn't do at maybe Fenway or the Lowell Spinners or nights like Star Wars night, and then we're going to have a fan appreciation night with fireworks that sometimes you'll see in minor league parks. But we're going to have a lot of promotional nights. There's a lot of different things to do in the park than they have been in the past. So I think for us, we're trying to get all of our ducks in a row to make sure that each night goes off without a hitch. And there's a lot to do.
Derek, I know I want to spend some more time with you more on your team and players and so on and things like that. But is there anything new with the league itself, any new teams, any changes within the Futures League?
One of the teams in Connecticut has left and gone to another league, and we've actually brought in another team in New Britain that came from a professional league. So we're still at seven teams. The league is eagerly moving to 9 or 10 next year. So the league is very strong. I think the league is getting better. There's more baseball people involved in the league now than there was in the past. And I think that the league is a great opportunity for kids in New England and kids from New England. And then kids that go to school in New England that may live outside the region to play in a real good competitive league that would allow them to be seen by professional teams so they can be tomorrow's stars at the next level. And that's really what the motivation is for the league and really for why my brother, my dad, and I got involved in purchasing the team was to really take the Navigators and make them a place where future professional players will come and cut their teeth before they get to the next level.
Derek, hang on the line with us, but thanks again so much for your time. And again, thanks and best of luck with all of this as we wish everybody best of luck with all the things going on.
Thanks, Bill. We look forward to talking to you guys soon about the upcoming season.
You got it. Derek January, President, General Manager of the North Shore Navigators.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Thank you, Derek. Great information. Let's hope the baseball season for the Navigators does get underway sooner rather than later. All right, so here we go. We got a brand new thing going on now. Let's see if this works. We've got Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, and Mike Grenier, sports writer as well, on the line at the same time. Gary, how are you?
Doing great, Rick.
Mike, you there?
Sure am, and of course, happy to be on with Gary. We've known each other since like 1970.
Well, you know, I wasn't going to mention how long we've been in this business, but among the three of us, and you put Bill in there, we got some time. We got some time under our belts here.
We sure do.
All right. So where do we start? You guys, this is sort of an open forum, and Mike, you had a suggestion earlier, and Gary, I know that you guys have been chatting. So what's it all about?
Well, you know, we batted this around, Gary Larrabee and I, and we thought we'd we've seen so many great basketball players from the North Shore that have gone on to play Division I college basketball and even in the NBA, and we thought we'd put together the top five that both of us have seen all time, top five. Tough to do, but Gary, if you want, I'll start. Well, there's two Salem High guys on the list of five, starting five. Why don't I start with one, Gary, and then I'll hand it over to you for the other Salem guy. How's that for a start?
Go for it.
All right, so I'll start with Scoonie Penn, Salem High, a 5'9" dynamo, who many people wouldn't make it to the big level because of his lack of size. Played at Salem High, 1995 graduating year. They went 25-0 that year, won the state championship. He averaged he scored 34 points in the state championship game against Greenfield. He scored 2,189 points in his Salem High career. And that was just the start of it, guys. I'll tell you what, interesting, Gary, you might remember this game. I covered it, but the final regular season game of his career, Peabody needed to get a win to get the state tournament. Salem was 19-0. Scoonie wasn't about to let Peabody get into the state tournament. He scored 53 points, a school record, and prevented Peabody from entering the state tournament that year. And then Salem goes out and wins five more state tournament games after that regular season. They finished 25-0. Scoonie Penn was highly recruited, spent 2 years at Boston College, where he was the Big East Rookie of the Year as a freshman, the Big East Tournament MVP as a sophomore. Now, as you know, Boston College, Gary, right, and Rick, you guys know this, they've been sort of never been in the national picture, but his sophomore year, Scoonie Penn, they won the Big East Tournament for the first time and only time in history. After his 2 years at BC, he ends up going to Ohio State, followed Coach Jimmy O'Brien out there, and he ends up leading Ohio State to its first Final Four in 31 years. They went to the Final Four in 1999. They lost to UConn in the Final Four. However, Scoonie became a two-time, second-team All-American, was drafted second round by the Atlanta Hawks of the NBA, and he ended up playing, 12 years in Europe. I know at one point in his European career, the Milwaukee Bucks offered him a 2-year guaranteed contract at $750,000. He turned it down because he was having such a terrific and he had longevity in Europe, and he ended up playing there for 11 or 12 years. So I'll start with him. That's a good start. Scoonie Penn, phenomenal player. Oh, and I will mention one other thing. Among all the players in the history of North Shore, he scored a combined over 4,000 points in his high school and college career. Definitely the highest scorer we've ever had in North Shore combined high school and college scoring. Gary, I'll turn it over to you for the next Salem High guy.
I don't have quite the detailed background that you have, but we have to mention Rick Brenson, who led Salem in 1990, 5 years before Scoonie did the same thing as in his senior year at Salem High. Rick Brenson led Salem High to an undefeated season in the state championship in 1990, which is extraordinary in so many different ways. And, of course, Brenson was projected to be a top-notch college player, which he was for John Chaney at Temple.
Yep.
And I forget, Mike, how far he carried Temple in the
Well, you know what, Gary? We were all excited because they won the Elite Eight game. Excuse me, they got down to the Elite Eight game as a major upset. And then they had to face Chris Webber and that fantastic Michigan team to get to the Final Four, and they came up a little short. But, of course, Brunson had a tremendous college career at Temple, was drafted, ended up playing, of all our guys in the history of the North Shore, the longest time still so far in the NBA, 9 seasons. He was more like a bench guy coming off, the bench for most of those seasons. However, he had a lengthy NBA career and a great overall career, counting his high school college and pro endeavor.
And Mike, then of course he moved on and became an assistant coach in the NBA for how many years would you say?
Well, several years with the
Bulls.
Tom Thibodeau, Minnesota
right.
Timberwolves.
What
some people don't know is that during his NBA career, Rick had a very short stint with the Celtics.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So Brunson, of course, again, like Scoony Penn, they both delivered Salem High State titles. And Scoony Penn's team, Rick Brunson's team was the first team since 1926 at Salem to have a state championship. And Scoony's team at 25-0 had the best record in 69 years. Of Salem High basketball. So
you've got some great research, Michael. You get extraordinary research, and of course, the last piece of the puzzle with Rick Brunson is, of course, his son.
Yep.
His son had a fantastic career playing
at Villanova.
Two-time
national champion.
And now he is he's a third guard, maybe, or is he a starting guard?
Yes. He's basically a third guard for the Dallas Maverick and enjoying a very fine start to his career. Great kid, and the offspring of Rick Brunson, and let's hope he has a long NBA career. And
so, Rick, those are the two that are both extraordinary, I think, high school careers around here. But we have to mention three other players to round out our consensus starting five all time here on the North Shore, and that includes Mike Craig.
Next one, Gary, I'll mention, and you could take one. I'll start with the guy that you covered his very first game in high school, Sean Conley, Bishop Fenwick. Definitely, he ended up being the all-time greatest scorer from the North Shore, 2,473 points in his high school career, averaged 28 points in his high school career, which is very hard to do. And how about this, Gary? You covered his very first game as a ninth grader, and I recall being in the office, and this is no dig at you, you were a little skeptical of how he might do as a high school player. He had all these grammar school statistics, and he was the next big thing on the block, and you went out and covered his first game, and you left the office being a little skeptical, and you came back being totally converted because Sean Conley scored 29 points in his first ever Bishop Fenwick game. And you know what? He scored 56 points in a game during his career. He had 13 three-pointers, 56 points overall against Savio Prep. And not only that, Gary, I'm not quite sure whether you covered, they played Whalen in a state tournament game, and he scored 55 points in a state tournament game in 1996. And then just to bring you up to date on what he did later on, he had his freshman year at Providence College. Obviously, he was highly recruited. He went to Providence College. Then he sat out a year and transferred to Ohio State. In that sense, he kind of followed Scoony Penn a little bit. He ended up being, I believe, the captain at Ohio State his senior year. He started all 30 games, and he scored over 1,000 points in his college career to go along with 2473 in his high school career. And, of course, he became the head coach at St. John's Prep when they won a state championship in 2009 years ago.
So that gives us three. Of our top five. And, of course, I think next would probably have to be, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, Mr. Connaughton from
yes.
St. John's Prep, and now, of course, from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yep, and yes, absolutely. Now in his fifth year in the NBA, started three seasons with the Portland Trail Blazers. But how about his high school career, Gary? 1,713 points. He wasn't on the radar of many college teams until his senior year or the summer between his senior year. Bentley College was the only one offering him a scholarship. And then he went to an AAU tournament in Orlando, Florida, and he lit it up with like 30 points and 22 rebounds a game against great talent from all over the country. He ended up getting a full scholarship from Notre Dame, where he played both baseball and basketball. And he scored like 1,200 points or 1,400 points in college, and they nearly made it to the Final Four. I was there 5 years ago at Gund Arena in Cleveland when they beat Wichita State in the regional semifinals, and then they lost to Kentucky, a great Kentucky team, by a couple of points in the game that could have put them in the Final Four. And, of course, he was drafted by the Baltimore Orioles and by the NBA in the second round, and he's had a productive five years in the NBA. He comes off the bench for the deepest team in the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks. Just a tremendous kid, tremendous player. Now, I got to mention this. In a state championship game as a senior in 2011, they beat St. John's of Shrewsbury. St. John's Prep did. And the leading player for St. John's of Shrewsbury was this kid, Richard Rogers, who was a big, sturdy football player type. Richard Rogers ended up playing with Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. He was a tight end for 2-3.
Pat Connaughton stirs the fact that one of the reasons why they hadn't shown too much interest in Pat as a college basketball player was because a lot of the schools thought he might go professional baseball right out of St. John's Prep with his great pitching record, and of course he decided not to do that when he probably could have, and he might be in the major leagues right now, but instead he opted for the basketball run, and of course he made the right decision there.
So he wasn't going to be the next Gene Conley then, huh?
Isn't it, Gary, we should mention this, right? Sean Conley, who was on our top five, ended up coaching Pat Connaughton the year they won the state championship in 2011, 9 years ago.
You're right. Imagine how these paths crossed. And, of course, our number five starter, Mike, right ahead.
Williams, seventh season in the NBA. Michael Carter-Williams, of course, of Hamilton, played his freshman year at Hamilton Wenham Regional, was a tremendous prospect. Now, I still remember the state tournament game at home. They were a high seed, Hamilton Wenham. They lost to Mike Clifford and Bishop Fenwick. Now, Clifford went on to be a Division I player at the University of Buffalo, and then at Merrimack College, he dropped down to Division II when he transferred. But
they lost. Older brother of outstanding Danvers High player Vinny Clifford, who was part of those three state championship teams just a few years ago.
And, of course, what happened with Michael Carter-Williams is, you know, his folks thought he might do well going to a prep school. He transferred to a school in Great Barrington, St. Andrews in Great Barrington, Rhode Island, where he averaged like 23, 24 points a game for 3 years and was on everybody's radar as far as big colleges were concerned. He ended up going to Syracuse, and he didn't play much his freshman year at Syracuse, and he was disappointed under Coach Jim Boeheim. But, of course, Syracuse was always loaded with top division, like NBA-type prospect, and Dion Waiters, who's still in the NBA, was playing ahead of a young Michael Carter-Williams at the time. By his sophomore year, Michael Carter-Williams breaks into the starting lineup and had such a great year that he was drafted. He declared for the NBA after his sophomore year. And by the way, he led Syracuse to the Final Four as a sophomore, Michael Carter-Williams did. And I clearly remember him outplaying Victor Oladipo, who's currently in the NBA, in a regional NCAA tournament game. Connor Williams scored 24 points and clearly outplayed Victor Oladipo. And that put him on the NBA radar, of course. And he ended up being like the number 11 choice overall first round by the Philadelphia 76ers. And how about this, guys, right? I still remember the very first game of his NBA career. Had one of the all-time greatest debut games of any player. 22 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds, and 9 steals, which is still a record for a rookie in his NBA debut. And they beat LeBron James and the Miami Heat in that game. And he ended up being the NBA Rookie of the Year, 2014, and has gone on. He's been injury-plagued a bit, but he has scored 3,700 points in his NBA career and is now in his seventh season, currently with the Orlando Magic, who were at least on a pace to make the playoffs this season. So Rick, that's our starting five right there, and a pretty stellar group, I would say, huh?
I feel so insignificant.
You've seen some of those guys, Rick.
Oh, yeah. Well, certainly Scooney and Rick, when I was at WESX, and the other three guys, I did not get a chance to see to play, but see them play. But you guys have chronicled that, and I'm amazed at how you do that. And it just I don't know, guys. I just think that sports is such it's such a cathartic event that even though we don't have live sports right now, this is picking me up just listening to you two guys. So thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, North Shore always has been a hockey hotbed, and it still is today, providing a great feeding system for Division I college hockey. But in his last 20, 25, actually 30 years, starting with 1990, this has been the golden era for high school basketball around here on the boys' side. And We just gave you five reasons why.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Bill can give you more when we talk about Lynn English High School, you know, back-to-back champions
sure.
on the boys' side. And, of course, you guys mentioned Danvers High School, the championships that they've won. It's pretty amazing. Guys, before we wrap this up, and I think at least we found a new format that works. You guys come in loud and clear. I asked Coach Dunbar, in this time of reflection when we're all sort of stuck in the house, to put it bluntly, to recommend either a sports movie or a sports book. He did both. He recommended as a book, The Making of the Miracle on Ice, and he recommended Bull Durham as a movie. So I'm going to hit each of you guys with one or both. We'll start with Mike.
Okay, well, you know what? I think Field of Dreams is an awesome movie.
Mm.
Field of Dreams is an awesome movie. I would go with that one. And if I could mention the second one, only because I'm a massive Notre Dame football fan, Rudy.
Rudy. Of course.
It's kind of an inspirational story. A guy who came out of nowhere, was a walk-on, and actually ended up playing a couple of seconds on the 1975 team. Kind of a fun movie for me, Rudy. But Field of Dreams is just a classic story. Just a great, great all-around movie.
All right. Gary.
I've seen, I think Rudy's been on, Mike, I think Rudy's been on one of our favorite cable movie stations three times in the last week, so I hope you've seen those three movies, those three different runs of it. Anyways, from my side, guys, I have to go golf a little bit, and it's still one of the most hilarious sports movies of all time. That has to be Caddyshack, which is about so much more than just golf. Golf is almost a secondary or third storyline of that movie. Of course, the rest of it is just hilarious. And of course, I have to also lean towards in a more serious nature, going on the basketball side. I have to go with Hoosiers, which was one of Gene Hackman's great performances. You know, one of the great underrated actors we've ever had, and especially the last 40, 50 years. And Gene's still alive, but pretty much
just turned 90. I believe he turned 90.
That's right. That's right. Now you must be reading your AARP magazine than I am, Mike.
Okay, guys. Okay. Let's not get nasty now.
Could you picture Larry Bird playing on that Hoosiers team? I could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Small town. Great story. It's a great story, and it's a true story, which is the best part of it.
Yes, it
Teddy
is.
Caddyshack could never be true, although I've been on a few golf courses and a few country clubs where those bunch of characters exist. But those are my two picks.
Well, okay. What about what was that movie where Robert Redford played a baseball player and he had his bat made out of
The Natural.
The Natural, that's right. The Natural. That one just came to mind.
Great movie, too. Yeah. Truly a great movie.
All right, gentlemen, I will do this again with you guys anytime you want to.
That sounds great, Rick. We appreciate you having us talk basketball for a while.
Appreciate it. Gary, stay safe. Mike, stay safe. We'll talk to you guys soon.
You as well. Thanks, guys. Take care. Good night.
Take care. Good night. That is Gary Larrabee of the Salem News, Mike Grenier of the Salem News. They are writers emeritus, if I could say that. I don't quite know, but they still contribute. They're still writing, and you can hear the enthusiasm in their voices talking sports, and that's the beauty of sports. I'm running a little long. We're going to get right to our next interview here. I thank you for your patience, as we still have a couple of people to talk with. Swampscott Athletic Director Kelly Farley and the Daily Item Sports Editor Michael Longy with Bill Newell. That's all coming up, so please stay with us. This is North Shore Sports Night.
Kelly Farley, Athletic Director, Swampscott High School, is joining us. Kelly, welcome. Good to be talking with you.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
Kelly, it's obviously an unusual time for high school athletic directors or any school personnel, with the students out, staff out, and so on, with the coronavirus stuff, but give us an update at least on high school athletics. The spring season postponed at least indefinitely now to the end of April for sure.
Yeah, it's postponed till at least April 27th. We're waiting to hear a little bit more from the tournament management committee at the MIAA. And, you know, it's really hard for the kids. I feel so bad for the seniors especially, because we're just kind of in a holding pattern and waiting to see what happened. And, you know, they've been working so hard in the off season, and it's their senior year, and for a lot of the kids, it's their last opportunity to play competitive sports if they're not going to play, you know, when they go to college. So it's really a tough time for everybody, and a whole lot of rescheduling and hoping for the best.
I know the MIAA can get beat up on a lot of different fronts, but I actually think they handled it very well, making the initial postponement of a couple of weeks, and then last week, you know, upping that to the end of April. And, you know, there's no sense going beyond that. I mean, that's what everyone's done to this point. And so I kind of give them a little credit just to, you know, taking it step by step. There's no sense to rush and, you know, at that point a week ago.
Absolutely. You know, this whole situation with COVID-19 is so fluid. Things are just changing almost daily for both school systems as well as athletics specifically. You know, it all depends on what comes down from the government and, you know, what kind of headway they're making medically and when they think it's safe. You know, the bottom line is the safety of all the students, coaches, teachers, you know, everybody really. So, you know, it's pretty hard to play sports and also respect social distancing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the other piece that came out, I also appreciated their strong statement on captain's practices, which are not permitted at this point either.
Yeah, and I think it was good that they took such a strong front on that because, you know, the kids' natural reaction is to want to stay active and want to keep their skills sharp and stay in shape. So, you know, being the young leaders that they are, they all want to head out on the fields and all that kind of stuff and get together for captain's practices. And I think the underclassmen feel like, you know, no matter what mom and dad might be saying, that they need to be out there too with their team. So I think hearing it from the state association and then obviously us as athletic directors, coaches, and the administration at our school saying absolutely not as well, you know, goes a long way.
Kelly, the whole year just grinding to a halt right after most people finished their winter sports, a couple of teams looking for that state championship game week a couple weeks ago. But, Kelly, I guess what are some highlights, if we will, if we can look back at Swampscott from the winter sports season? Obviously, the hockey team did very well.
The hockey team did very well. You know, they had a great season. And you know, all of our teams really improved over what they've done in the past. So I was very happy with our season, you know, and was looking forward to the spring, obviously, as was everybody else. You know, we had a lot of students that are going to be going on and playing in college. And, you know, like I said before, it's really hard for them not being able to finish out that high school career in the way that they were hoping to.
Yeah. Do you have any update? I mean, I guess obviously every college looking at, you know, in other words, college decisions for athletes have probably been made for this point. In other words, if you're a high school baseball player, you know, I guess a lot of that stuff's been done. But I guess there could be something hanging on waiting for the season to have been played.
Yeah, I think for the seniors, that's all done and locked in. You know, I have Dylan January, Nick Reiser, who are going to play at Franklin Pierce, and then Tyler Marshall, who's heading over to Stonehill. But I think for the juniors, it's a different story. You know, this spring would have been when college coaches might have come out and seen them play at the high school level. And then, of course, if they play any AAU ball or anything like that, then again over the summer. So hopefully this gets cleared up in time for those seasons, you know, so that kids will have the opportunity to contact the college coaches that they want to come see them at least in that summer venue where, you know, the spring hasn't really gotten off to a great start so far.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a great point. I hadn't actually thought about that, but that makes all the sense in the world. Hey, one last thing maybe on the tournament. I mean, if spring's practices or the season really can't get underway in the month of May, as I heard a rumor that then pretty much, you know, you need a month of regular season in order to have a tournament, which could take place for the first 3 weeks in June. But even that's kind of a stretch as well, isn't it? And I know it's kind of irrelevant looking at what we're really looking at right now as we speak. But is that the kind of discussion that the MIAA is having with ADs?
Yeah. So I also direct the North softball tournament. And the conversations that have been had with ADs and such is that if the season gets pushed out much further than April 27th, as it is now, we most likely will not have a postseason. We may play some sort of an abbreviated regular season, but we wouldn't be able to play a postseason because right now they've knocked the games down. They've totally reworked the sports limitation sheets. They've changed preseason requirements as much as they can, but, you know, still taking health and safety into account, obviously, for sports like rugby and so forth, especially. You know, so the max number of games we can play now is 12 versus what was 20 in baseball and softball, down to 12. No longer can you do exclusion games or endowment games. They've taken those out of the. So, I mean, as my first thought was, okay, we're probably looking at only playing league games, and in some situations, even having to cancel a couple league games because of the new requirement. And all non-league games are probably going to have to be taken out because the league games have to come first.
No, absolutely. Kelly, any other news from the Northeastern Conference as such? I don't imagine there's much there, but any other news from the league itself?
No, not really. We just, you know, we're already prepping ahead for the fall. Looking forward to having Masco join us, and they've been at our meetings and stuff, and John's been great. You know, we're looking forward to that, and hopefully looking forward to getting past this medical outbreak and having everybody healthy, safe, and ready to go.
You got it. Kelly, always great talking with you. Thanks for your time, and like you said, be safe for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks, you too, Bill.
Yep, Kelly Farley, athletic director at Swampscott High School. This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender. Mike Alonji, the new sports editor of the Daily Item of Lynn, is joining us. And, Mike, welcome. Good to be talking with you.
Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate it.
Well, Mike, Mike's done a great job for the Item for a number of years. Now he's the sports editor at the Item. And, Mike, putting together a local sports page at this time, probably not the easiest thing in the world, is it?
No, it's definitely tough. You know, it's at this point, you know, we're you know, kind of, I guess you can say, a little bit lucky in the fact that, you know, our publisher has decided to cut the number of sports pages for us from three, our normal three, down to two. So it does help a little bit in terms of, you know, filling the paper with certain things. You know, when I came on as sports editor, one of the things that I really wanted to do was stop using, you know, Associated Press wire stories and things like that. Much more locally focused, and even if we had to run, you know, a lot more local pictures as opposed to stories, I would rather do that. You know, and it worked for the first few weeks as I was a sports editor, but unfortunately, now that sports have stopped, we've kind of had to resort, you know, back more to the wire stories and things like that. So it has been a little bit of an adjustment. We've been lucky, again. We are getting, you know, kind of drips and drabs from everywhere, you know, teams that are naming their high school all-stars and, the you know, the Moynihan all-stars, which will come out soon, and stuff like that. So little things that kind of get us going through the day, each day, and then, you know, just kind of trying to find features and stuff like that on some of these kids who, whether they just finished playing or they didn't get a chance to play this spring or whatever. So it's kind of been piecemeal for the most part so far.
No, you're right. And at least the winter sports are getting the extended coverage that they might not normally get at this time of year. But there's always a time where winter sports gets a lot of extended coverage because we don't always have the best spring weather, and events don't start anyways until April for sure with the spring sports. Mike, I guess let our folks know that you guys now at the Item, you're all working from home. Does that sound right?
That is, yeah. We're all remote. It's you know, obviously an adjustment that we've all had to make, kind of getting the technology aspect of it under control. But yeah, we're all remote. We're doing, you know, phone interviews from, you know, from our houses and stuff like that. It's been a little bit of an adjustment, but we've been working well through it so far.
Gotcha. Okay. The other thing I want to ask you about is we wrap. Oh, the one more thing on the spring teams. The MIAA has decided not to allow practices until the end of April, and they're meeting again tomorrow on that. Does that sound right?
Yes. So last Friday they came out with the tournament management committee came out with a series of proposals, kind of talking about the different aspects of how we're going to get this spring season going. They decided that the season will begin on April 27th, you know, as of right now. Obviously, it's all fluid at this point because none of us really know what's happening, but April 27th will be the start date, and they had to modify the rules. Obviously, there are rules in terms of how many practices you have to have before you can play games, certain things like that that had to be modified that were cut down, you know, basically in half from 11 days of practice down to, I think, five and things like that, just to get the season started a little faster. If the season does get played, it will be obviously very shortened. They cut the minimum number of tournament games needed to qualify for the tournament down to 8, and most teams will play a maximum of 12 games, which is, I believe, has to be ratified by the board of directors, but I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. So there's going to be a shortened season, and then the tournament will basically the entire month of May will be the regular season, and then the first 3 weeks of June will be the tournament with no sports taking place after June 21st at the very, very latest. So that's basically, you know, kind of how they're structuring it at this point. There was another vote that was made that if the season has to be pushed back even further, as in past April 27th, then there will not be an MIA postseason tournament. So it is, you know, very time contingent. Obviously, we need to be able to get a certain number of games in. So it's all fluid at this point, but they're having another meeting, the Tournament Management Committee, and I believe the Board of Directors are having another meeting on Tuesday, tomorrow, and it will be, they'll be, you know, kind of updating the situation as we go along.
Mike, I do want to talk to you more about other things in the days or weeks ahead here, not to beat you up right now, but one last thing, winter sports. I mean, no more of a clearer example of the winter sports season grinding to a sudden halt was what happened to Lynn English boys basketball and St. Mary's girls basketball, poised to go to the state championship games after winning their semifinal games. The semifinal games. But obviously St. Mary's girls basketball, Lynn English boys basketball, as well as Swampscott hockey and even the St. Mary's hockey teams all had really solid years, but St. Mary's and Lynn English coming away with the co-shared state titles.
Yeah, you know, you have to feel for him in some ways because, you know, obviously, you know, having gotten to know Antonio Anderson, the English coach, and Jeff Newhall, the St. Mary's coach, having got to know them over the years, you know, these guys really wanted to win. They really wanted to play that final game. I know for a fact that they both felt really confident in their team's ability to take home the state championship. And it is unfortunate that neither team got to really, you know, kind of prove their worth on the court in that final game. At the same time, you know, they are still going to be considered state champions. It's something to be certainly be proud of. There'll be a bunch of ceremonies over the course of the year for them, I'm sure. But it is unfortunate that they couldn't get to play that final game there. But you're right. I mean, in terms of all these teams that kind of made good runs in the state tournament, it was great to watch. It was great to watch Swampscott Hockey, who was the last seed into the tournament. They actually had a losing record going into the tournament, and they knocked off some really, really good hockey teams over the course of that tournament, making it all the way to the semifinal round. So it was a lot of fun to watch, for sure.
You got it. Well, Mike, well, like I said, I'd love to check back again with you soon on different things, but thanks for all this information, and best of luck to you. I know you'll do a great job, and be safe and continue to socially isolate, that's the term, right?
Absolutely.
Distance. Isolate sounds a little rough, doesn't it? Yeah.
I'm isolated here right now, but yeah, exactly. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it. Hopefully we'll see you at a game soon.
Yep, you got it. There's Mike Alonji, sports editor, Daily Item of Lynn.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. And we're going to go a little bit long here, check in with our old buddy Tim Kearns. How you doing, Coach?
I'm well, Rick.
All right. I don't know if you've been listening, but a potpourri of sports here tonight, and it's been fun because there are no live sports, and I've been watching some of the classic games and listening to some of the classic games bring back some really good memories around here. But any thoughts about what's happening, Coach? And I'm going to ask you about your book recommendation or your movie recommendation or both.
Oh, boy. Well, the one thing I have stopped doing is, not that I spent a lot of time dwelling on it prior, was Tom Brady is gone. He is no longer a Patriot. He's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. So I just want people to stop talking about it, stop crying about it, and begin to worry about who's going to be the quarterback and the kicker going into this season. We have many more issues to concern ourselves with the number of other losses and shoes that Belichick now has to fill. Over the upcoming months and as we go into the draft, than to worry about the boo-hooing over Tom Brady, who made his decision, he is gone, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Well, there's a lot of free agents who have left as well, six or seven players, not including Gostkowski. And I think that, you know, it's a complete retooling, possibly, of the New England Patriots. So at the very least, it's going to be a new look. And, you know, the thing is, my wife was saying, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to watch. You know, I watched the Patriots for 40 years before they won anything. I was really upset when Drew Bledsoe left. Yeah, it's upsetting that Tom Brady's left. But you know what? They're still going to be competitive. It's still the NFL. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, we always knew that there was going to be a day when Tom Brady wasn't around, and it just came this year.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do? You know, Belichick caved into Kraft when he you know, kept Brady and got rid of Garoppolo, and now, you know, everybody's like, oh, maybe we'll get Jimmy G back. Well, you know, you didn't. So now you're going to have to go with Stidham. You know, you brought back
Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll see what happens, and that's what people have to look at. They have to look at the future of the franchise, because the guy who was the franchise is no longer with the team, so stop crying about it. He got his money, he got his years, but he wasn't going to get with the Patriots. So,
and I look forward...
You wish him luck and you move on.
I look forward to when he retires, all the celebrations that will be held up here. That'll be great. Coach, now, I have been trying to find books to read, movies to watch, and that kind of thing. We sit in quarantine here, and I use that word loosely because I do get out. I have been able to get groceries. I go for my walk, run. But still a little more reading than usual, a little more TV than usual. We've had some recommendations tonight. Dale Dunbar recommended Making of Miracle on Ice because he was there. He also recommended Bull Durham. Gary Larrabee recommends Caddyshack, of course, and Hoosiers. And Mike Grenya recommends Field of Dreams and Rudy. Mike didn't recommend a book, which kind of surprised me. So what does Tim recommend?
Somebody Up There Likes Me, the Rocky Graziano story starring Paul Newman.
Oh, okay.
Is a great boxing flick.
Yep.
Trying to think of possibly another. I would not recommend William Bendix's Babe Ruth. It's considered one of the worst movies of all time.
Yeah, agreed.
And I like William Bendix, but that one didn't go off.
Yep.
Or... the guy who played Roseanne's husband, Tom Arnold, his version of
right.
Babe Ruth. Don't do that one either.
Right.
Also the Lou Gehrig story.
Yep. Is that Gary Cooper?
Gary Cooper, marvelously done.
Yep.
Great flick. Books.
Okay, yeah, there you go. The Ted Williams biography is very interesting.
Yes, it is. And there was another one recently written that I did read I read it a couple of years ago that was also very, very good.
Well, the Ted Williams story shows you that the guy John Wayne pretended to be was really Ted Williams.
No. You know, and you know, you listen, you read and hear John Glenn talk about him being the best wingman he ever had. You know,
yep.
His hit-eye coordination was second to none. And he landed his fighter plane that had been shot up pretty bad. He refused to bail out because he didn't want the plane to crash. So he brought it into the belly landing.
Yep.
You know, yep. I mean just. A crazy, crazy person in that sense. Trying to think, there was a recent sports book that...
All right, well, hold on to it.
I've been reading over the past few months. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
I can't keep them straight.
All right, well, next week it'll be music, so that's going to tax you even more.
Oh, good.
All right, Coach, Beer Pod coming up this week. Have you got a topic?
Not yet. Not yet. We'll see how it goes. The flavor of the flavor of the week.
Okay.
And last week we talked about what local brewery. and that's still going to be in effect for the near future. So, okay. Again, if you can patronize your local brew pubs, call ahead or send an email and order your beer for pickup.
There you go. All right, Tim, thank you so much. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again.
All righty, Rex.
Thanks,
talk
Coach.
To you later this week.
Take care. That is Tim Kearns, our MSO Goodwill Ambassador and Sports Analyst, and just does everything so well here for us. We appreciate it. That's it. Don't forget, we've got Connections tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. North Shore Today will be posted before 9 for sure, and then Connections is our live program at 10. We'll be featuring the Essex Police Chief. We'll be talking with Sue Gabriel of Bootstraps in Beverly. Bill Newell will be talking with Dave Radigan, and the editor and publisher of the Manchester by the Sea Cricket will also be on with Josh Arnold. That's tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. So thank you for being with us. I appreciate it. And, of course, needless to say, do what you're supposed to do. Just do the right thing, and we'll all be okay. On behalf of Tim Kearns, Bill Newell, Bill Poposky, I'm Rick Moore. Have a great evening. This is MSONewsSports.com.